Kia ora, welcome to Arise Church Podcast. For more details, you can find us at arisechurch.com. We have a special guest for us today, so we hope you enjoy today's message.
I really felt the Holy Spirit just speaking to me during. And I might just tie this in maybe with my message if I can, and maybe do something at the end and when we have our final song. But the song that we were singing this morning, I Trust in God, My Saviour. While we were singing that, there's a couple of lines in there at the end that actually, sometimes you sort of go, yeah. He heard and he answered, and that's why I trust him. I really, really felt this morning that there are people struggling with those lines. You know what? I struggle with those lines sometimes because it's only part of the truth. I heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. And I believe we need to get to a point in our lives where we don't trust him because he's heard and he's answered. We trust him because he is God. And I think that's a higher call. I think that's a higher thing, because otherwise it always then relates back to my situation, what's going on in my world, and what's going into my life. And sure, God, the scripture tells us that God hears everything that we pray and say. But how he answers sometimes is not how we want, or what we desire, or what we think, because his thoughts are higher than ours, and his ways are higher than ours. And I want to encourage someone here this morning that while you were singing that, you're going, yeah, that's why I trust him. Just lift your eyes a little bit higher and say, God, I trust you this morning because of who you are. You are God. You are God in my world. You are God in my life. And no matter what comes my way, I know that as I pray and as I ask, you will hear and you will answer. But that's not why I trust you. I trust you because of who you are. You are my God, my Lord, my Savior. And so that's not to say that those lines in the song are wrong. They are truth. But I think there is a truth that we need to get a hold of, that we trust God because of who he is. And I guess I can say that with some confidence this morning, because if I look at my life from when I was a child right up to my life now, one of the big things in my life is trust. I do trust God no matter what goes on. And in my life and in our world, when my mum died when I was 12, and it sort of put our family into whole, you know, into chaos in some ways. And my dad was a pastor and a minister. And then he went to Iceland, and the other kids went with him in the family. I stayed here in Christchurch. I'm still flipping well here, honestly. And they went and did all their thing. And over life, over the times in life, if you don't actually trust God for who he is, there's a lot of people who trusted God because they say he didn't come through. And what have they done? They've left the faith. Don't trust God because of what he can do for you, or answer what the way you want him to answer. Trust him because he is God. He is God, and he is your God, and he is my God. That's why he is trustworthy above everything else. That's good. I've got that off my chest now. And so we can get into the word today. I was going to say the real thing, but this is all the real thing. Because God's the real thing. John the Baptist had been beheaded by Herod Antipas because of a situation where he had put John into prison because of who he was and what he'd been doing, you know, just being a good guy. And his wife, Herodias, put on a birthday party for him. And during the birthday party, his daughter, whose name was also Herodias, did a dance for her father, which pleased him greatly. So much so that he said to her, "Ask me anything, I'll give you up to half of my kingdom." Well, that's pretty big for your daughter just doing a dance. Now give half your kingdom away. But anyway, it just showed the state of mind that Herod was in at that moment. And so she goes and asks her mother, "Mum, what should I do?" And she said, "Ask for the head of John the Baptist," because she hated him. And so the daughter goes back to dad, Herod, and says, "Bring me the head of John the Baptist on a plate." And it says in scripture, and this is in Matthew chapter 14, just the first few verses. This is just a bit of background to where I want to go this morning. That he was saddened and disappointed by what he had said, but because he was there with all the guests and had given his word, he had to do it. So he called for the guards and that and the executioner to do that. And the daughter walked in with John the Baptist's head on a plate. That's just the beginning of the story this morning. It's a really nice story, eh? You know, it's there's something about that story that sort of makes you cringe. Makes you want to vomit, but not really. And so Matthew 14, verse 12, it says, "Later, John's disciples came for his body and they buried it. Then they went and told Jesus what had happened." Now, Jesus obviously was not yet aware of what had happened to his friend, John the Baptist. And we know that they were friends, that they knew each other. The most poignant time was when Jesus came to be baptized by John in the desert. And, you know, just to know, "Well, I don't want to do this," but Jesus said, "You've got to do this. It's got to be a part of what my ministry is all about as I begin what my Father has for me to do." And so they were friends. And so the disciples then go to Jesus, and in verse 13 it says, "As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone." That sounds like the most human, normal thing to do. You just want to get out of that situation. You want to be away from where you are, and you just want to be alone. And so Jesus wanted to be alone. Why? So he could grieve the brutal, cruel death of a friend. But then it says, "But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns." Amazing how in that day the word got around where Jesus was going. Incredible. And so Jesus saw the huge crowd. So Jesus is pulling up in the boat. He's seeing a crowd on the side of the hill. You know, a bit like me looking out on you here today. Oh, just a few more people. 5,000 men plus women plus children, maybe 20,000 people. I don't know. Incredible amount of people. And Jesus saw the huge crowd there, and he turned his boat around to find another place to go so he could be alone. Oh, hang on. That's not what the scripture says. Sorry, I made that up. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat. He went from the boat that he was on onto the land where the people already stood. And he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. You see, Jesus' heart of compassion was greater than his own grief. His compassion for others was stronger than his own need for space and remoteness. If we keep reading through the story, we do see that Jesus then sent the disciples across the Sea of Galilee where the storm hit, and it said he went up to the hill to pray alone. He got his time alone. But living out our faith and living in faith is sometimes inconvenient. I don't think faith and convenience go together very well. Because faith always challenges. Faith always speaks to us in different ways. The word faith in the English dictionary says a complete trust, or confidence in someone or something. That's faith, to have faith, complete trust or confidence in someone. Oh, now I understand what that other thing was this morning I just spoke about. That trust and faith go together, very much so. You see, living in our faith or living out of our faith is never about me. It is sometimes inconvenient. And for Jesus here, it was about their sick. It was about their needs. It was about their situation. It was about their world. It was about their life. I don't think we can live in faith or live out our faith without it being, without other people being in our world and being involved in our lives. People that we can reach out to. And that evening, verse 15, the disciples came to him and they said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. So send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy some food for themselves." And I love Jesus' words. He said, "That isn't necessary. You feed them. Come on, you do it." And in some ways for Jesus, it was just like, to the disciples, just like, well, that's a weird thing to ask of us when we've already said, we know these people are hungry. If they just go back to a village somewhere, either or where they've come from, they can feed themselves. I mean, they've been here, I don't know how many hours, and they're getting hungry. And Jesus said, well, it's not necessary to send them away. You feed them. A little few words of faith there for them. That a faith opportunity arose for them right there. And they said, you know, as we see in one of the other gospels, that they found a boy who had 5 loaves and 2 fish, which seems to me a crazy thing too, because they'd been there all this time. It was getting late in the evening. Why did this kid still have his lunch? Either he didn't like what his mother had packed, and all the parents go, yeah, Johnny comes home every day with something still in his lunch box, but who knows why he still had that, but they found that 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Well, 5 loaves of bread wouldn't be the 5 loaves of bread, the size of bread that we get from the supermarket or from our, you know, our bread place. It would have been 5 little buns, because he couldn't eat that much. Maybe he had had 10 and he'd eaten 5. Who would know? But they weren't that big. They were little buns of bread and a couple of little herring or something. They weren't big 10-pound snapper. They were enough for a kid's lunch. And the crazy thing is this, they find this little bit of food. They had to find the food. And when they got it, it wasn't much. And the third thing, it wasn't even theirs. It was someone else's. But then we see what happens to this. And Jesus says, well, bring them here. Bring me the wee buns. Bring me the couple of little fish. And then he told the people to sit down on the grass. In one of the other gospels, it tells us that they sat in 50s and hundreds, and you know, there was some structure and some order to what Jesus did. Jesus is a God of structure and order. And it says that he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up toward heaven, and he blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces. Don't know how small the pieces were. Anyway, He broke them into pieces. He gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to the people. He breaks the bread buns open. He gives it to the disciples and he says, now you feed the people. He'd already said for them to feed the people. And they found a little something. They found just a little bit of something. But when we give our little bit of something to Jesus, what can he do with it? And this is where faith comes in. This is where faith begins to operate in our lives. And Jesus gives them the broken bread and then he says to them, now give it away. Come on. Begin to distribute what I have blessed and I have given to you. And it tells us then that they ate as much as they wanted. How crazy is that? I mean, we read these stories in scripture and we go, yeah, that was good, but this is crazy. This is crazy faith in operation. This is Jesus going over the top to show his disciples and to show the crowd that when you put faith into action, miracles happen. Miracles happen. You see, the miracles began at the handout. The miracles began at the handout. Once the disciples started handing out the bread, more kept coming, more kept coming, more kept coming, more kept coming, more kept. What's that called? Faith in action. Faith in action. You see, sometimes it's not about the lack of faith in our lives, it's the lack of action. You've got to put action to faith, because faith without works or good deeds is just dead, the scripture tells us. So faith has this amazing component in it where we need to activate our faith by doing something. Well, I pray. Praying is not faith. Praying activates our faith. Come on, get excited with me this morning if you really want to. Because I'm getting a bit excited. But you know what? Sometimes faith action is inconvenient. When Jesus saw the crowd, for him right then, that was inconvenient. He wasn't feeling great. He was wanting to get alone and think about his friend who'd been brutally murdered by the king. He wanted to get some assurance from the Father. He wanted to be alone with the Father. He wanted to get out of what was happening in his world at the time. But what did he do? Said, this is far greater. I'm just going to live in faith right now. I don't have it to do right now in myself, but I'm going to live in faith right now. I'm going to meet these people's needs. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to heal them. I'm going to feed them with the help of my people, which is you and me today. We are called to feed the people. And this is what happens that when Jesus multiplies as we distribute. Jesus multiplies as we distribute. As we give out, as we give away, as we give away what God has put in our lives and in our hearts, God makes more. And he gives us more. You know, we live in a world today that's all about me. And to a point, that's fantastic. We've got to look after ourselves. We've got to make sure that we are in the right place, in the right space. But there's so much focus about me. And, you know, we're all humanity, right? But I believe in the church, we need to be measuring that and we need to be looking at these things, you know, about my time and my life and my mental health and my truth and my peace and me, 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 me. Jesus had every me right to turn the boat around and go find another remote spot. He had every right to do that. But he was living in faith. He was living in faith, saying, yeah, okay, God, you'll supply all my needs according to your riches. Glory. I don't feel like this right now. I don't want to do this right now. I don't have any faith right now. I don't want to work this out right now. I don't want to see anybody, let alone maybe 20,000 people. but he did it. You know, when you feel like you've got nothing to give and you choose to thank God, asking him to bless what you have, and he gives you the broken bread. It's not a whole loaf. It doesn't look complete and nice. It's broken. Like he was broken for us. We are to be broken for others. And what we have been given to give out to people in faith, it doesn't necessarily look complete or great, but it's just about the bits. It's about the bits and pieces. It's about what God has given to us. It's about giving away that piece to somebody who needs that food right now. It's going to keep them alive. It's going to heal them. It's going to take them another step towards Jesus. It's going to bring them to faith. And you give it away, and it multiplies. That's faith in action. The miracle is never in an action because of what I need got in the way. Man, sometimes I think we need to think again about my need and what I need and what's for me, and start looking around us. Start seeing what Jesus saw. In his own remoteness, in his own grief, man, he was feeling it. But no, he said, no, I'm going to put faith in action here. We're going to feed these people. We're going to heal these people. We're going to make sure they have what they need for their lives. We too often look at the size of our lunchbox and not at the one who can multiply what's in our lunchbox. We keep God small. We keep him contained in the lunchbox. But God wants everything out of the lunchbox and put into his hand so he can bless it and so he can break it and give it back to us so that we can give it away. Church, we've all got that in us this morning. We've got that faith in us today because God's put it there. He's put it within us. Energy, time, and finance, relationships, our capacity. You will get all you need to eat if you give what you have to him. Let him break it and give it back to you as he tells him, give it away. And let me multiply what you've already been given. You know, if we keep what we have, we'll lose it. We think about the parable of the talents. And the guy with the one talent went and buried it in the soil. Because, oh, it's just one talent. It's just one little piece of bread. What have I got to give? When Jesus came, Shivers, it wasn't good for him. He took that and gave it to the guy who'd done something with what he'd already had. Jesus will keep breaking the bread. We put faith into action and distribute what we have been given. Don't stop what God has given to you. Oh, well, I don't have much. Well, here we go this morning. Here is our response to God today as we come to a close. Maybe you're saying this morning, I don't have much. Join the club. They didn't have much on that day. It was pretty insignificant. But God makes and brings significance out of insignificance. Let Jesus break what you do have this morning. And sometimes we want to keep everything nice. Faith is messy sometimes. Walking and operating in faith is messy sometimes. You don't have to have it all together. Because, oh, let me just say something here. None of us have got it all together. Because we're humanity. We're walking toward that. And we let God do what he wants to do in our lives. And we do what he's given for us to do. You go feed them. You go do what you can do. I will multiply the brokenness of your life to to give it out to others. It's more than enough. Let Jesus break. Let him give it back to you. I wonder if sometimes if we don't receive what Jesus has got for us. Come on, give it away. Give it away. You might say, oh man, doesn't look good, doesn't feel good. I don't know what I said was any good. I didn't even know how to talk to people. I don't even know anything. I don't know. But your bit, your peace, your portion for somebody else is faith in action. Giving it away, faith in action. Faith in action. Let the Holy Spirit do the work in people's lives. God only asks us to do what we can do. Because guess what? He knows how to do the rest. And that is so powerful. Come on, let's pray. Holy Spirit, this morning we thank you for your word. You're an amazing God today. And we just still our hearts for a moment this morning and say, Jesus, help us to live and walk in faith. Help us to give away the little that we might have. And if we've got a lot, help us to give it to you to break it into pieces so that people can digest it, so people can take it on board, so people can live that out of their lives. And God, we thank you that as we do that, there was so much left over after people had eaten until they were full. 12 baskets full, a whole lot more than what was originally there, was still left afterwards. Wow. What a God. What a God. And Lord, as we just think about the word today, as we take it on board today, as we say, God, this morning, I'm going to activate faith in my life, even this week. There's a little thing that I know I can do for somebody. There's a little faith in action that I can operate in here. Maybe at work, maybe at school, maybe at university, maybe in your friend group, whatever it is. Don't let the thought of inconvenience stop you from walking and living and acting in faith. Let's be Jesus to people. You might not feel like it, but if the opportunity's there, don't ever pass it by. I'd like to give an opportunity this morning for people here today, and maybe it's the first time you've come to church, and or maybe you've been before, but you've never ever actually given your life over to Jesus. You've never said yes to him. You've never said, God, I want you to be in my life. Jesus, I want you to be in my life, and I want to live for you. I want to tell you this morning, it's the greatest life you could ever live. In fact, it's the only life to live. Because Jesus will multiply what he's put in your life that you haven't even recognized yet and break it open for you. So if you're here this morning and you'd like to say yes to Jesus, Jesus, I'd like to this morning give my life to you. I want you just to do one thing this morning. If you're saying yes to him today, all I want you to do is just to raise your hand wherever you're sitting, and we'll see that this morning, and we'll pray a prayer with you today. Anyone here today want to say yes to Jesus? Maybe for the first time, maybe for the next time. Doesn't matter. But anyone in that place, in that space this morning, wanting to say yes to Jesus? Anyone at all? It's a great moment for people. Anyone today? God, we thank you this morning for who you are. Pray, God, that you would just pour out your Spirit on Arise today. God, as we sing this trust song again, I pray that that trust and that faith will rise in our hearts and our spirits as we continue to serve you together. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And the amazing Church of Arise said, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for the Arise Church podcast.
We hope this message has blessed you. For more content or resources, visit arisechurch.com. Matiwa, see you soon.